What's up, Hyperfast Nation? On this episode of the podcast, I sat down with a real estate investor who started his own podcast, did over 100 episodes. He's invested in private equity, crypto, real estate. He now helps other people raise money and get on podcast to reach more investors. Welcome to the show, Matthew Baltzel. Welcome to the show today, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you because you're, you know, among other things, a big time real estate investor. You've built up a big portfolio. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of your the quick bio on who you are and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so for sure. So basically a high level overview is I started working in private equity about 4 years ago, and I started a podcast. I had about 114 episodes, and I basically started realizing the process of having people be on my podcast, going on other people's podcasts, and I saw that this industry was kind of broken and people were raising capital, and I created Elite Podcast Bookings, which basically helps facilitate real estate investors going on industry-leading podcasts and basically helps leverage other people's platforms and for them to attract new capital and get new deal flow. So that's kind of a high-level overview of quickly where I've gone and where I'm at right now.
And you're also a pretty big real estate investor yourself, correct?
Yeah, correct. So I've invested, basically partner with all the deals that we acquire, and that's mainly a big part of my portfolio.
There's a lot going on in the real estate market. You know, obviously we've had a couple years of extreme appreciation, high double digits in many markets. Now we have interest rates going up, yet we still have what seems to be pretty big inventory problems. Where do you think this all shakes out? Like how would you be advising people to play or invest?
Yeah, so I mean typically today, what I would say was any investment, right? I mean, you really got to know your investment. As far as like having a strong investment criteria, you want to have good underlying fundamentals when you're underwriting. So if you don't really know your market or you don't know what you're getting into, you're already kind of behind the eight ball per se, right? So example, like, you know, emerging markets or rents that are increasing 30% year over year, right? Those are going to be markets that are very hot. They're going to be obviously harder to get into, but you know, you can get into those markets. I mean, if you're going to invest in Orlando as opposed to, you know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, right? They're going to be completely different markets. Mm-hmm. So I would say know your market specifically that you want to invest in and know the deals and the fundamentals of it, and then kind of work your way from there.
Let's dive into that example a little bit. So Orlando versus Tuscaloosa, just because you brought it up, what do you see in each market right now? And what would you tell an investor looking at a deal in each of those markets?
Yeah, so I mean, just recently off the top of my head, right, I subscribed to a lot of different newsletters. And a newsletter that I came across that was basically showing reports on the U-Hauls, of U-Haul rentals of where the number one places they were coming into and out of and whatnot. And the Orlando area was number one. And then I think Denver, Colorado was like number 12. And then there's Austin, Texas. But basically like anything kind of in the Sun Belt, people are obviously wanting to move to places, right? Flock for taxes. They want better opportunity, arbitrage. So, you know, those that's just a thing that pops off the top of my head as far as, you know, using one of those reports to show that where people are kind of moving to and where people are migrating to.
Where, so people are moving into those markets based on number of U-Hauls. Where are they moving from? Did it mention that at all?
I mean, they're moving from all over the place. I mean, a lot of people are trying to avoid taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Or you want to go where you're treated best, right? So people are moving from California, people are moving from New York, people are moving, basically people are moving wherever they're not being treated best, right? So if you're feeling for political reasons or for taxes, but to name two, I would say people from New York and people from California.
Interesting. I think that kind of follows what, you know, has been reported in some media outlets, not all. But what else have you invested in? I know you were early into Bitcoin, correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I wasn't super early, but I mean, I started investing in Bitcoin in 2017. So I would say I'm earlier than others, but yeah, I definitely experienced some success there for sure.
What do you think's going on with that market? I know this podcast will probably come out in a couple of weeks from now, but you know, they had one of the probably the worst days ever, I think, yesterday, and the crypto market is a whole, and Bitcoin was down a lot.
I wouldn't say necessarily that they've experienced one of the biggest drawdowns yesterday as a whole. I mean, if collectively, if you look at the fundamentals, I mean, nothing has really changed from Bitcoin from, 5 years ago as opposed to today. There's been a few minor upgrades, but I mean, for the most part, I mean, 3 weeks ago, there was the Terra Luna collapse, which had nothing to do with Bitcoin. And then 2 days ago, or whatever you want to call it, the Celsius collapse of basically people, if you want to talk about underwriting deals, people basically rehypothecating their money, not underwriting their deals and structuring their businesses properly. Mm. And it's basically just piggybacking, what should I say? It's basically just negative news within the industry, right? So if you were a US dollar fan and you use US dollars to fund your podcast and you use US dollars to buy real estate and you use US dollars to buy your groceries, and all of a sudden there's a $1 billion drug bust of cocaine and they're using cash dollars. Now, is that a negative story? Yes. Is it a negative story for US dollars? Sure. Are they in the same umbrella as you buying your home? Yes. So Bitcoin is a completely separate entity, or not even an entity, but it's completely separate commodity, if you want to call it, that's correlated or tied into these Celsius or these other Lunas or whatever they want to call. But everybody's been saying Bitcoin's going to be dying since 2011 or whatever it is. And it's just continuously coming back. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily worried. My wife gets worried from time to time, but I'm not too fussed about it.
What do you think's the better buy right now, real estate or Bitcoin?
I would say Bitcoin, but it would come down to what are your investment goals? What are you looking for? It's up to the individual, but I would say long term picture, I would say Bitcoin.
Hey, hold that thought. Do you want to get 100 tips for free from my best-selling real estate book, The Hyperlocal Hyperfast Real Estate Agent? If you do, go to hyperfasttips.com and you can download 100 of my best tips today. Again, that's hyperfasttips.com. You can download 100 tips on how to grow your business, get more clients, deliver more value to more people. Go to hyperfasttips.com.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair answer. I would probably caveat it with, you know, if you buy Bitcoin, you're buying Bitcoin. It's pretty much non-fungible, right? If you buy a real estate it could be a buy and hold. It could be under market value, over market value, right? There's probably a lot more to it. So going back to that first point, you really got to know your deal criteria.
So basically, like, let's say you're getting at, right? If you want to cash flow whatever $1,000 a month, I mean you can do that through Airbnb, you can do wholesaling, you can find a bunch of different investment vehicles, right? But if your investment thesis is Bitcoin's going to be worth millions of dollars by the year of 2030, there's only 21 million ever, there's been 4 million that are already lost, you know, the issuance schedule, everything, and they're not making more of it. So, you know, you could do the math, but some people believe differently, but that's them. So
what, let's go back to real estate.
For sure.
If you were like geographically agnostic, right, you could invest in any market. And so we're not talking about that. What type of real estate do you like the best? Do you, ground up, flips, buy and holds, long-term rentals, short-term rentals? Where do you think people should be looking right now?
This is for a new real estate?
Yeah.
This is for a new real estate investor?
Correct.
So if I was a new real estate investor, like I said, I would probably, if I was a brand new real estate investor and I were to be starting out, I would, depending upon what market I was in, but if I was in, let's say, Denver or Austin or something along those lines, what I would probably do is initially I would try and flip, just because this is me, I'm good with my hands. And working, I would try and flip a property to get some more capital, and I'd probably flip one or two properties, and then from there I would look to possibly invest out of state in a landlord rental, in a landlord friendly state, which basically means that the laws are in favor of the landlord as opposed to the tenant. And basically, you can do anything virtually, right? So if you're living in San Francisco or Los Angeles and you want to start looking at investing in, Phoenix, Arizona, right? You can definitely start getting on Zillow. You can start scouting locations. You can get on BiggerPockets. You can reach out to people, find the best neighborhoods. And then from there, I would, depending upon what you're looking at, I would say multifamily is definitely probably one of the safer options out there that you could probably do. That's what I particularly specialize in. But that's what I would kind of recommend if somebody was initially getting into real estate.
So do small flips maybe at first to get the experience, gain, build up your equity, build up your confidence, your skill level, and then try to jump from there into multifamilies in areas that respects landlords, basically.
Yeah, landlord-friendly states. You could go about it in different ways. A lot of people definitely see a lot of cash flow in single-family residence as well. And I know also a lot of people right now are doing Airbnb arbitrages and making a lot of money and cash flowing a lot as well, too. So, there's a lot of completely different plays as far as markets, right? If you're usually trying to invest in like New York, or if you're trying to invest in like Los Angeles or California or something along those lines, those properties usually have greater appreciation as opposed to a lot of cash flow. So,
but they come with more risk though, right? Like if you have a bad tenant in New York or California, how long is it going to take you to get that person out of there?
Exactly. So, also too, with COVID and everything, you have to take that into account. So we've had tenants that have stayed at properties for 4 to 5 months that they don't pay. Right? You file on the tenant. It takes the sheriff X amount of days to come out. They have 3 or 4 days to, counter it. So basically it can be extended a long period over time. It basically just depends on your market and what your goals are.
Yeah. So, if you're getting into one of those states where it could take a long time to evict a non-paying tenant, going back to, you got to know your investment thesis. You're obviously in there because you want that higher price point, that bigger appreciation. But you got to be prepared for 6 to 12 months of no cash flow potentially. Right. So you have to know that up front, set aside bigger reserves and make, have all of that go into your deer criteria up front.
Correct. And I think with a lot of problems too, is, a lot of people are There's been a lot of money just in markets in general, right? Real estate markets, equity markets, et cetera. And so people overextend themselves. We become too confident. And then when the tide pulls back, right, you see who's really left standing naked. So, you know, corrections probably do, whether that's 20% or 50%. I don't necessarily know for like as far as the housing market's concerned. But you make money in the market, but not by timing the market. So I think as long as you're, you know, investing with the right people and doing your proper due diligence, most of the times you should be pretty set up for success as opposed to not being set up for success.
What perspective do you have in terms of, you know, the private equity side of just how much money is sitting out there, you know, on the sidelines or ready to buy? Like, we've heard these stories of these big funds coming in and buying, you know, complete neighborhoods.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as, like, you know, the big funds coming in, I mean, there's definitely capital that's being allocated towards taking down deals, right? So if you're, we'll go back to Orlando, for example, like, there's definitely a lot of capital that's being deployed to get into deals, right? So if you are a first-time syndicator and you're looking to purchase a 200-unit apartment complex, and you're going up and competing against very senior, tenured real estate investors, big institutions, you know, that are trying to basically purchase this same properties that you're trying to do, because they're trying to allocate capital as well. So you got to kind of really know your partners and, you know, pick the right people on your team, because you're competing against a lot of top dogs. So if you wanted to take it down a notch and maybe invest in like apartment complexes between, you know, maybe 16 to, you know, 50 units or something like that, or under 100 units, there's a lot less institutional demand for those because they have better economies of scale and they can invest in 400, 300 units. But yeah, money's definitely flooding in. People are, obviously they're chasing cash flow right now. Bonds are being suppressed. So really money is trying to basically find the best, safest avenue. And like I said, multifamily traditionally during recessions works very well. And people are very fearful of recessions right now as well. So again, multifamily is a safe way avenue to, for people to invest if they would like that avenue.
Hey, hold that thought for a minute. Do you want to take your real estate business to the next level? If you do, there's no reason to go it alone. Learn from people who've been where you want to go. Carrie and I have sold billions of dollars in real estate. We've netted over seven figures for 7 years in a row now, and we want to see if you would be a good fit to work for us. We don't work with a lot of people, but we want to give you a chance to get on a free strategy call to see if we can help you get your business to the next level. Go to hyperfastcoach.com and apply for your discovery session today. Again, that's hyperfastcoach.com.
Are you seeing prices, or, you know, go down, or cap rates go up on multifamilies, or any, you know, spaces similar to that?
Prices are still exploding. Mm-hmm. And people are still demanding. People are chomping at the bit. We are in the process of selling a property, and it's going well. We haven't closed on the deal, but the rents continue to increase year over year in some areas between 10 to 30%, and that just basically drives up the property value. And people are willing to pay that if they know that potentially moving forward that they can continue to do the same, which basically just, it's almost like a vicious cycle. They know that once they can acquire it, they can raise the rents, people are going to pay it, people are going to move there, and, you know, supply and demand. People are more likely and wanting to move right now to Orlando, Austin, Denver, Boise, Idaho, or not Boise, Idaho, Boise, Idaho. But you know what I'm saying. Orlando, Austin, Denver, those kind of
areas. Yeah, I was actually – flew through Boise a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think I've ever seen this at an airport, but by the baggage claim, the realtors had huge, like, stands set up with infomercials and TVs playing on things about moving to Boise and new construction. And
yeah, I mean, so
it does seem like there's a boom in Boise going on right now.
Yeah, I've never been to Idaho, so it's kind of harder for me to, like, conceptualize it in my head, per se. But, apparently it's supposed to be pretty good. But one negative I heard about is they have bad air quality. Apparently Boise is, like, I don't want to say in a valley, but they basically have terrible air quality a lot of times out of the year, which I never would expect. But
yeah, I've never heard of that. You wouldn't expect it because it's not a huge city, but I don't know. Maybe the
I thought it was like mountain air, but apparently have to Google it. But yeah, there's a big problem with like air quality.
But I do know it's like Idaho in general has done really, really well the last couple of years in real estate values and development and all that. So there's definitely a lot going on, I guess, in these, I would call it like Sun Belt or maybe Midwestern states that are landlord and business friendly. Those seem to be the ones as an investor to kind of hang your hat on.
For sure.
What do you think's the most important thing right now? You know, if you're a real estate investor analyzing deals, what's the most important thing you think people should be doing that maybe they're not?
I would say that one of the most important things that people should be doing is curating their network in the sense that you should constantly be going on podcasts, networking with individuals such as yourself. Telling people about your plans, whether you're trying to attract capital, whether you're trying to acquire new deals in Orlando or Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But, you know, when you need your network, right, is when you don't want to start building your network. So whether the market is going to go north or south, we don't necessarily know, but you want to constantly be curating that network. So if it is in a recession or you do need to rely on your network, you can say, hey, you know, this is my investment criteria. This is what I was looking for. We spoke last month. We spoke 6 months ago. Hey, how you doing? Are you still trying to raise capital for this deal? I live in San Francisco. I'm a new real estate investor. I'm looking to invest in Detroit or Cleveland. Hey, shoot them an email. I've noticed this about this area. Provide value to other people. But a lot of people become fearful, right? And when you become fearful, you become very insular, and it's about yourself and like almost like, you know, protect and cover, right? And so that's almost like the wrong way to go. You should be, you know, curating your network, open eyes, and that way, whether it's a down economy or an up economy, you're always going to stand a fighting chance.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. We are wrapping up here, and I always like to end with a hyper fast round if you are ready for some rapid fire Q&A here.
I'm ready.
All right, what's your biggest piece of advice to a new real estate investor?
I would just say, like I said, curate your network and underwrite and know the numbers before you invest.
What's the biggest mistake that successful investors make?
Overextending their skis and thinking they're smarter than they really are.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned in the past 5 years in real estate investing?
Go with your gut and don't invest in something unless you feel 100% confident in it yourself. And don't let others convince you. So believe in the numbers, believe in yourself, and formulate your own opinion.
All right, if you had to start all over, you couldn't take your money or your reputation with you, you could only take what you've learned along the way, what's the first thing you'd do?
So say that again, if I couldn't take my money or my reputation with me?
Yeah, if you had to start over and you couldn't take your Rolodex, your money, your reputation, any of, you know, the brand you've built, if you couldn't take any of that with you and you had to start all mm-hmm. over, all you could use was the knowledge you've learned along the way, what's the first thing you'd do?
And we're in this, and it's this year?
Yeah.
Okay. What would I do? I would, like I said, I would rely on my network, right? I mean, that'd be day one. I'd put it out there and I'd be like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do, whether it's get into real estate, whether it's trying to raise money for a new deal or whether it's trying to, you know, start XYZ, right? First thing I would do is I'd turn to my network.
All right. Last question. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
10 years from now, 10 years from now, I will be sitting very comfortably retired, watching my 10-year-old newborns, or my, won't be newborn, but my 10-year-old son surf on a beach.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you for being on the show today. If people want to reach out and connect with you, what are the best ways for them to do that?
Yeah, if somebody's very interested in, you know, learning about real estate and learning how to track capital and basically leverage their network and go on other people's podcasts, you can find me at elitepodcastbookings.com. You can go in the upper right-hand corner, book an appointment, and I'll be more than happy to chat with anybody and basically help them learn about marketing and real estate and how to basically level their playing field.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and to all of our listeners and viewers out there on YouTube and Apple and Spotify, wherever you're tuning in. Thank you so much. Please share this episode with people that you think could benefit from all of the great insights as well. And we'll see you next time. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure and go to hyperfastagent.com to learn about upcoming in-person and online events. And don't forget to share this show with someone that you think could benefit from hearing it, and make sure you subscribe on YouTube or anywhere that you can find podcasts.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hyper Fat Show. Subscribe to us if you want to make sure you get the latest and greatest Hyper Fat shows. And remember, we love reviews. Reviews help us bring better and better guests, improve our shows, and give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.
Hey guys, thanks for sticking around to the end. I hope you enjoyed that video, and if you want to see more, click right here. And if you want 100 real estate tips from my best-selling book, click right here to download them instantly. And if you're new to this channel, click below to subscribe.